2 für Union nach 0 zu 2 Rückstand. Ich muss mega kotzen. Und Kendall die Chance, weil er mit dem Rücken zum Tor die Frage.
Moin, es ist ja jetzt schon gute 3 Stunden 30 nach 19.10 Uhr. Ihr hört den Millerton nach dem Spiel gegen den ersten FC Heidenheim. Das Spiel endete in Heidenheim mit einem krachenden 3:0 für Heidenheim und das war auch durchaus in der Höhe so verdient. Kann ich jetzt schon mal vorwegnehmen, bevor wir dieses Gespräch weiter aufzeichnen. Und ich bin Tim. Und genauso wie im vor dem Spielgespräch habe ich auch wieder einen Gast aus Übersee, deswegen ist das Gespräch auch überhaupt zu spät, da der Millerton mal wieder durch die Zeitzone reist und nach Kanada, genauer nach Toronto, mit Toronto verbunden ist. Und ich begrüße Sarah an der anderen Seite. Hi Sarah.
Hi Tim, how are you?
I'm yes, fine, so but still have some problems with the defeat from the weekend, but yes, I'm fine. So how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very pleased with the game over the weekend and, you know, grabbing those 3 points that definitely will help Heidenheim if they choose to press further and try to make that challenge for promotion.
Sounds good. So before I forgot, where have you watched the game? So I've seen a picture on Twitter where you were together with the people from São Paulo, Toronto, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I was able to watch the game this week with the St. Pauli Toronto supporters group. The St. Pauli Toronto supporters group are a fantastic group of people who are doing some fantastic things in the Toronto community. And they are friendly and they understand that even if you're not a St. Pauli fan, you're there for the football. And they welcome you with open arms. Of course, they weren't happy about the defeat, but that's football and that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, you watched the game live, so at 8 in the morning or 7:30 in the morning, or you? So I remember it from another St. Pauli fan club in Glasgow. There we watched the game with a delay, or also the East River Pirates, the fan club in New York City. They always watch the games with a delay of a few hours.
Yeah, so I was up early to watch the game at home. So I could enjoy and see what was going on. But yes, the FC St. Pauli Toronto group, they do it with a delay and they watch it a little bit later in the afternoon. So I was lucky enough to see the game twice.
Okay. Because you've won, it's easy to see the game twice, right?
Okay. Completely bearable.
So at first, before we talk about the match itself, I switch again to German. Willkommen zurück. Jetzt bin ich wieder im Deutschen und ich erzähle noch mal ein bisschen was, da ich die ganze Anreise mit dem Fanladenbus mitgemacht habe, wollte ich noch mal kurz erzählen, wie die so verlief. Das ist ja nun auch eine kleine Weltreise, die wir da hinter uns gebracht haben. Es dauerte nämlich satte, ich habe das handgestoppt, 8,5 Stunden. Vom Millerntorplatz dann letztendlich zur Voith Arena. Wir sind gestartet nachts um 2:30. Ich persönlich hatte gedacht, ich könnte noch ein bisschen schlafen im Bus, aber das war ehrlich gesagt ein Irrglaube, weil es dann doch eine Truppe gab, die dann sich noch überlegte, dass man ja einfach weiter trinken könnte. So, die haben auch einfach durchgezogen und ich hatte eigentlich gehofft zu schlafen, aber es passierte dann nicht und ist ja auch nicht so schlimm. Man stellt sich ja auch darauf ein, dass man im Fanladenbus nicht unbedingt viel Schlaf bekommt. Wir sind dann nach 8,5 Stunden, schöner Sonnenaufgang, den wir miterlebt haben, sind wir dann angekommen in Heidenheim, haben es dann aber allerdings zeitlich nicht mehr geschafft zu dem Grilltreffen, zu dem USP aufgerufen hatte, oder eingeladen hatte, besser gesagt, weil wir schon zeitig am Stadion sein mussten. Das lag zum Teil daran, dass der Fanladen sich da mit dem Fanbeauftragten von Heidenheim treffen musste, relativ pünktlich, lag auch Asche auf mein Haupt, lag auch ein bisschen an mir, weil ich halt ins Stadion musste, weil ich das AFM-Radio machte. Und ich hörte aber dann im Nachgang von vielen anderen am Vorplatz vor dem Stadion, dass das Grilltreffen wohl ziemlich gut gewesen ist und alle sich da ziemlich gut versorgt fühlten. Das Stadion selber ist, how would you describe the stadium, Sarah?
Utilitarian? It's a stadium, it's grown over the years, and I think that's very obvious. So, you know, every few seasons, a little bit more gets added on. It's cozy in the sense that you have the wonderful trees around it. And I love how it's set off from Heidenheim City proper on the Schlossberg up there. Mm-hmm. But my impression when I was there was also that it could be a little rough. Is that true?
Yeah, it depends. So it was a sunny, warm day. What I liked the most at the stadium was we were sitting in the third or fifth row to mm-hmm. on the press stand to the RFM radio, but it felt like we were just a few meters away from the pitch, so it's quite near to the pitch. It was really nice, and yeah, then I would say it is a normal like German football stadium. So there's nothing new and nothing like really special.
Yeah.
On it, but it's so maximum capacity is 15,000, I think.
Correct.
And is it also 15,000 is maybe also the minimum capacity for Zweite Bundesliga stadiums, isn't it like this?
Yeah, I think you would be correct because there are certain seating capacity restrictions or regulations in terms of if you're a team in the league, correct?
So we also had before we arrived at the stadium, we have a small city trip with a bus because we haven't found the right way directly. Then we had a small city trip through Heidenheim. So it's like, yes, Heidenheim, what is it? How much people are living there? 50,000 maybe?
Yeah, 50,000.
Okay. So it's so from. Yes, I have a lot of, yes, how to say, so I'm from Hamburg, I was born here, and I'm always, when I'm going to the countryside, I'm like, oh yeah, the people from the countryside, they are quite strange, and I knew that the people from the countryside, they are always like, oh, these are people from the big city, they're strange. Yeah. So what I like the most at Heidenheim, at the club, at the football club, not in the city, because I haven't seen the city or just seen the city out of the bus. it's quite so. It's a football club who plays in the second division in Germany. So the players earn a lot of money there, but they are really so. They seem to be really grounded and really connected to the fan base there. So at the press stand where we were doing the RFM radio after the match, almost half of the team of Heidenheim were coming to the stand and were just talking to some friends or some other people and were coming into the stands, and so it was quite so like a quite personal situation. And just it felt like sixth division where after the match the people so the players were smoking a cigarette and having a few beers with some friends like this, so kind of this atmosphere around it was really nice to see this. So it was so really grounded, so it felt like really really cool.
Yeah, I think they do a good job of reflecting the Heidenheim community there. The Heidenheim community is very much a hardworking, working class town, and I think they bring that to the field and also in terms of their attitude and their accessibility.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So pretty nice to see. So this is mostly not the case at St. Pauli. So I have to admit that the hype around St. Pauli players might be a bit higher. So, but it was really nice to see for me. So just, I just wanted to say it, because normally I would say, it's Heidenheim there. I don't know. So let's come to the match itself.
Yes.
My first point here on my list is the first minute. I want to say exactly, and I've written it in the blog on the Millerton webpage.
Yeah.
So, and as I know some English speaking people are listening to this podcast, I want to say here also that we also have from these blog post translations in English on our webpage. So you can also read it in English.
Exciting.
And, since this morning, I think. It's available in English. And there I also have written down that after 3 seconds, Niklas Dorsch hit it Marvin Knoll fair, but really, really hard.
Yes. Yeah, I think with this game, we really saw the importance of Dorsch to Heidenheim, especially yes. in terms of his ability to block and play that very physical game, yes. which really served to keep St. Pauli out of FC Heidenheim's end. Yeah, there were a couple of times where Dorsch threw a block out there where he just would go and stand in someone's way and they would literally fly over them. Of course, it was a fair hit. It wasn't a spikes up hit or anything like that. But definitely, Dorsch is a very physical player who is very effective at getting that job done.
Yes, and after 3 seconds, I thought, okay, that's it. We cannot win here today. So people like, or to player types like Niklas Dorsch. So in Germany, you always say these are aggressive leaders of a team. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So he's almost, or not almost, he's 21 years old, I think. And he has so much presence on the field. So
yes. This
is the wrong word, but I had the feeling that some Pauli players were afraid of protected by him. And beside this, he also played a really good ball, really good passes.
Extremely clean on the ball. He was fantastic on the ball over the weekend. I mean, you say he's 21, and that's just astounding to me that he's not afraid to get physical with the other players. But his ability on the ball was just so clean. His technique was so on point.
Yeah, exactly. So I was impressed by Niklas Dorsch. And Okay, but let's stay in the match. Heidenheim had a better start with a few shots. So after 5, 4, and 7 minutes, but the first, I would say, big chance was created by St. Pauli. So it was in the 10th minute, a shot by Buchtmann, and it was, yes, Müller had to get out his really long left arm to bring the ball to the corner. So this was the first big chance of St. Pauli, and was in the first half the only big chance of St. Pauli.
Yeah.
What happened afterwards?
What happened afterwards is you saw how FC Heidenheim came out really, really itching to score and connect with the net. And what happened is in the 18th minute, Mark Schnatterer received a beautiful pass from Robert Glatzel and was able to put it in the net, putting FC Heidenheim up 1-0. And that sort of took St. Pauli out of it a little bit.
Yes. I really fully agree with it. So the goal itself, so the first goal by Mark Schnatterer, it was like... something that happened to us a lot during the second half of the season.
So it's not just you. Getting scored on by Mark Schnatterer happens to pretty much every team in the two Bundesliga lately.
Yeah, okay. So, but I was asking myself, how often has Mark Schnatterer as much space near to the goal of the other team, that much space given by the other team?
Yeah.
I mean, there was nobody around him.
Yeah, he pretty much was left all alone out there and had a beautiful clear shot on goal for sure.
I mean, it's like a penalty without a goalkeeper for him. if he can have a free shot like from 20 meters, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Afterwards, yes, you said it. St. Pauli seemed to be shocked by this.
Yeah, you can tell it set St. Pauli back a little bit. It was very clear, at least for me, that both teams coming into the game were going to fight hard. But I think that the question was who was going to get on the board first and who was going to take the game. So with Schnatterer's goal, I think it started becoming clear that this was going to be FC Heidenheim's game. Mm-hmm. And of course, then we saw, you know, we saw that confirmed with the two goals from Davidan in the 26th and the 28th minute. Mm-hmm.
So normally, so the Germans are quite, yeah, they are always saying if you lose like 3-0 in this case or 0-3 in this case, you say, oh, St. Pauli, they were pretty bad. So, but I also have to say Heidenheim was really good at this time of the halftime. So, and during this, let's say 20 minutes from the 15th to the 35th minute, they played really good football. So, maybe it was because St. Pauli was, they were not even coming into tacklings during this time. So that was my feeling. Was it like a typical style of play of Heidenheim?
This was a great Heidenheim team that Frank Schmidt put together for the game. It was Heidenheim had very strong possession throughout the game. They had a good communication, excellent coordination. Their passing game was on point. Mm-hmm. I think it was the chemistry between the players and their attitude going onto the field really made for a very tight Heidenheim team. Let definitely was able to control the game, especially in that first 35 minutes.
What I've seen, Heidenheim was playing with four people or three people who were attacking, was Dovedan, Schnatterer and Glatzel in the middle. And then they had four people in the midfield and three people behind, so in the back, when they had own possession and they did their build up. So with Dorsch as a center back.
Yeah,
I would say, and it was quite effective. But normally, so St. Pauli played in a 4-1-4-1 formation.
Okay.
This is normally a good formation against the 3-4-3 that Heidenheim played. But what Heidenheim did really good was like playing a slow ball to the, for example, to the right side, and then the St. Pauli players were moving to the right side. They were just like, It was a really slow development, and then mostly it was Dorsch who was then playing a cross ball, directly near to Teuerkauf. It was mostly Andrich or Teuerkauf on the left side, and then they became really fast, and everyone in the Heidenheim square knew the moment, so they were prepared for this moment, and it seemed to be like really planned from the beginning on that they wanted to play like this to try to get St. Pauli fall asleep, and then then to change to switch the sites, and
And I agree with you that definitely they made a good use of Thorikov running the ball up the side and then passing it to the center. I think they did that so many times, I actually was wondering when St. Pauli was going to catch on and start putting a man on Thorikov to prevent it from happening.
Yeah. I was also like kind of... so when I did this RFM radio, I was... we were kind of shocked because we said, okay, we've seen Beermann and Thorikov, they... So I also said Thorikov now. It's Thorikov in German.
Thorikov.
we said the left backs of Heidenheim, they are might something like the critical point for Heidenheim itself.
Yeah.
So we have to play on our right side or the left side of Heidenheim. But they turned it around, fully around, because they said, okay, we have like with Thorikov and Bern, we have the oldest people in our squad on our left side, but the youngest people, Carstens and Park from St. Pauli, they were on our own right side. And they were just doing these crosses or mostly on our right side. So over then Teuerkauf and Andrich.
Yeah.
Especially in this 20 minutes or in the first half, it worked out really, really good for Heidenheim.
It really did. And I think you bring up the coordination between the team. And we really saw that with that third Davidan goal where Thorikov kicked it towards the net and Schnatti did that fake out run past the ball, which allowed Davidan to pick it up and just slide it in there so nicely. At that point, it just looked like Heidenheim was having fun with the play and really just completely able to run these sort of complicated moves that the whole team has to be coordinated for, and they were really able to get into position to do that, which was really interesting to see.
Yeah. Okay, and then that was the halftime, and so I now miss.
And the game ended after that, pretty much, right?
Again?
The game ended after halftime.
Yeah. I hoped for it. So, but yeah, the game ended. You say right? So it ended latest at the after the 3-0 after the third goal of Heidenheim.
Yeah.
It was like Heidenheim had a big chance for the fourth goal by Dovedan for the hat-trick.
Yeah.
Then yes, in the second half, I think Heidenheim was playing really smart, and but not that aggressive anymore.
Yeah, I would agree. They definitely were playing a keep away game. In terms of just making sure to pass the ball around the field and waste the time to get the free points, for sure.
I have this kind of aggression on the pitch. I was also impressed by it, and I have also written this in the blog because I was really impressed by this this atmosphere that was coming to St. Pauli, the St. Pauli players, that Heidenheim. So the Heidenheim players, they seemed to always be really pissed when St. Pauli had the ball. So this was the feeling that I had, at least. So they were really aggressive. Always when St. Pauli had the ball, there were always trouble on the field. So, and by all Heidenheim players. And so it was quite impressive for me to see that, as in the players of St. Pauli, they not had much time to make a decision to where they played the ball, because the Heidenheim players, they were really, after St. Pauli players reached the second third of the field, they were coming near to the midline, then the Heidenheim became really aggressive and really annoyed that St. Pauli has a ball. So it was impressive to see.
Yeah, they definitely did a good job counterattacking. And when St. Pauli did get through, Kevin Muller had an extremely strong game in net, where anytime St. Pauli did get a shot, Muller was able to take care of it with ease. Yeah. So that was really excellent to see from FC Heidenheim.
So is he always like this kind of in a good shape, Kevin Muller? Or are there some games that... with some mistakes by him?
He's been better lately. I think this also has to do with the defensive line that Frank Schmidt is running. Definitely, if the defense is doing their job, Kevin Muller performs a lot better. But if the defense is falling apart, then it just seems to resonate all the way back through the goal. So I would say Kevin Muller this season, starting out the season, he had some good games and some bad games. But the last few games, he's had really strong performance in the net.
Okay. Yes. One thing for us, nice to be seen from St. Pauli side, was Finn Ole Becker, who was coming in. He played really good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Heidenheim played not that aggressive anymore, and yeah, the game was done already. But he's like really good, and it's nice to see there's somebody coming up from our under 19 team, and yeah, he was sent off because the first yellow card for him, this was okay, but the second yellow card, yes, you can also show him the second yellow card, but under these circumstances, I would say please don't send him off. So nobody needs to send him off, because Heidenheim has won the game already, and probably just want to play a bit football.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Definitely the tackles weren't fair. They were fouls, but the second yellow card with, the Gelba Rot that sent him off, it did seem a little excessive and a little unsportsmanlike. I think, Becker was definitely fantastic out there, and I think if he could clean up his tackles a little bit, he's definitely going to be formidable on the field.
Yeah.
I think he handled being sent off the pitch quite well. But yeah, I think the ref could have gotten away with giving him a warning and letting the game play on.
Yeah. Okay. And with this, I want to end the game report.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's do a small forecast. So for St. Pauli, I won't do it because it's so the season is over for us now. And also all the opponents that are coming, it's Regensburg, Fürth, Dresden, and oh wait for it, the last one is Bochum, I think.
Mm.
For all of them, the season is also over already because nothing can happen for them. They can't get relegated or promoted. And now let's talk about your next games.
Yeah, so I think our next game that we have to watch out for is Paderborn, who is on fire lately.
Yes, they absolutely.
Just beat Kiel 2-1. They're taking a lot of shots, so I would expect Paderborn to come in, you know, with their eye on the goal there. Mm-hmm. I will say that they have won their last four games, so I'm hoping a bit of probability kicks in here, and this is their time to lose.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, and how was the first game or the game in the first half of the season?
First half of the season, we took a shellacking from Paderborn, so they beat us 5-0.
Ooh.
And I believe we were at home, so hopefully FC Heidenheim has a little bit of revenge in store.
Mhm. We'll do so. So and then who's coming next?
Oh, who's coming next? You're asking me trick questions here.
Yes. I do. Ah, I know. You're playing against the three teams.
The three teams that are for relegation. So Sandhausen, Duisburg, and Ingolstadt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, we've beat Sandhausen, we've beat Duisburg, and we've tied Ingolstadt. I think if we could pull off a similar thing going into the end of the season, we will be in a good position to make a challenge for that playoff spot.
Yeah. Of course, because Union is playing against Hamburg next Monday, and Paderborn is also playing against Hamburg on the last or the four last match day. So if you do one draw and two wins in the last three games, there you will have a big chance to get at least on the third place, I would say.
It's possible. Anything's possible, and I mean, I say that for FC Heidenheim, but I think it's also possible for a lot of teams in the second league right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting finishing out the season here.
Yeah. So I'm impressed by your style of play, but also it was really nice to be in Heidenheim. To be honest, with the bus, it was the last time for me to go to Heidenheim, but not because it was not nice in Heidenheim, and also not because we've lost there, so it was more the trip itself because it was exhausting, not because of the people, because it was like just exhausting to stay about 18 hours in the bus. So that was it from the match, that was it from Heidenheim, and that was it almost from this podcast episode. I just want to come to, so from a St. Pauli point of view, I need to speak also about the second half, but not about the things that happened on the pitch. It was the things that happened in the away stand, because the atmosphere in the away stand, it was really great to see, because I was doing this AFM radio, and so maybe it was on the TV for you the same. I just heard some Pauli fans singing the whole second half, so the complete second half.
Yeah, St. Pauli fans were extremely loud over there.
Yes,
you're drowning out the Heidenheimers.
Yeah, it was really cool to see how good the atmosphere was in the away stand. And after I was coming from the main stand after the match to the away stands, or before the away stands, every people were sitting in the sun and having some few beers, and it was just great, like a big, how to say, like a big family meeting. Everyone was like in a good mood, and so maybe not a family meeting, so maybe it's just a big class meeting or something like this. So everyone was in a good mood and still partying, and so it not felt like a defeat, but it was. So that's what I just wanted to say, to point out that at least the atmosphere in the stadium in the second half was good from St. Pauli's side. Also from Heidenheim, but yeah. Okay, Sarah, it was really nice to have you again here for this podcast. And maybe we will do it again when Heidenheim and St. Pauli are playing against each other next season. But maybe we can't because you're playing in the first division then.
Well, I would love to chat either way. Thank you so much, Tim.
Yeah. Okay, and now I switch to German again.
Yeah.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Und das nächste, was ihr hört nach diesem Podcast, ist dann auch schon das vor dem Spielgespräch zum Spiel gegen Regensburg. Da macht Michael das Gespräch. Und wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder. Da haben wir nämlich dann wieder unsere Monatssendung, die wir aufnehmen. Und ich werde wahrscheinlich auch nach Fürth fahren und auch von da in Zusammenarbeit mit Yannick berichten. Das ist dann aber das letzte Spiel und bis dahin ist noch ein bisschen Zeit und wir gucken mal, was bis dahin passiert und sagen bis dahin Tschüss und alles Gute. Bye, Sarah.
Tschüss.